I'll just start out and tell you this. If you got your Bible, I got two places I'd like for you to turn. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But, Brother Ricky, you don't know what a blessing that message was to me. And, folk, I'll just tell you, I was one of them Brother Frank was talking about that would question, why in the world would you go to trouble to put up this tent in the front yard? You got a nice air-conditioned building. It's August. It's hot. And them people lost their mind. I mean, what in the world you want to do that for? Well, you want to do that because God put it on your heart. And you wanted to do that because God knew I was up there in Rocky Mount and I needed something. And underneath this old tent. Boy, the Lord's just broke my heart this week. Sometime we just need to hush and listen. But I want you to look in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I knew I was going to preach tonight, but I'll tell you, I was really struggling how I was going to share my heart with this and share my heart tonight with what God put on me for tonight. But God already knew that I'd get an opportunity to do that this morning. But I want to tell you something as you look up here at me this morning. I don't normally take, Brother Dameron, isn't that right? I don't normally stand up and take time to give a personal testimony because I don't believe in giving praise to the devil, and I'm not doing that. I'm just going to brag on Jesus this morning, all right? And I want to tell you that Jesus makes the difference. And brother, when you talked about your old dad the other day, I'll tell you that was me, except for the part I wasn't physically abusive to my wife. I may have been I was verbally abusive to her and my children. And, you know, I look back and I think about this. Look, it's not always mom and daddy's fault. I want you to know that. Because I had a godly mom and daddy. They took me to church. They lived a godly life. I had a wonderful pastor. I had a tremendous Sunday school teacher. I had everything provided for me that should have been provided. The scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Well, I'm just glad today that in God's divine providence, in His grace, Brother Jim, between the time I was a young man and an old man, He kept me. Brother Frank, I remember your birthday is July the 27th. My birthday is July the 28th. I'm 57 years young. Your pastor's 2 days older than I am. But you know what? I think about, at age 17, I just turned 17 in July the 29th, 1972, convinced my parents to sign, Brother Ricky, for me to go in the Army. I was just as wild, I was as immature as any young 17-year-old boy you'd ever seen in your life, and that's what I was. I was a hard-headed boy. I went in the military. I mean, I gave my parents a hard time. I was as wicked could be. I ended up stationed overseas, and I'll never forget on the morning of July the 29th, on my birthday, I woke up behind bars. Brother Jim, on July the 28th, I was court-martialed. Woke up behind bars on the morning of July the 29th, on my 19th birthday, and pretty soon found myself flying back across the United States in a Class A military uniform with handcuffs on, sitting beside a great big giant about your size, Brother Jim, of a military guard. I was so embarrassed and humiliated. I sit on that plane, and everywhere I went, I had those handcuffs, and everybody looked at me, and I'll never forget how bad I felt. But you would have thought I'd learned my lesson, but no, I didn't. It just got worse, and it got worse. I want to just cut it down and come to this point. I was sitting in my living room, not far from here, in a little place called Duncan. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that or not. You cross Jordan Lake, go up to Farrington Road, and make a right and cut across the woods, and on the other side of the woods is a little community called Duncan. I had lost everything I had. I got saved as a young man. I did. I got saved as a little boy. I know I got saved. I know I did. And you know what? I just rebelled just as much as anybody could ever rebel, Brother Ricky, and lived my life in rebellion. And you know what God said? He said, go ahead. Go ahead. He gave me the opportunity, Brother Frank, to make the choice and do everything that I did. And I lived in rebellion year after year after year. And you know, I drove a truck for over 30 years. And finally, I was driving truck back before they ever had a CDL license. I got through all the doping because it was in my time of driving that they implemented drug tests. So I figured out in order to keep a job, I had to do something besides drugs. So guess what? I started drinking. That's what just about killed me. But here's where I got to. At 44 years of age, Brother Frank, I was sitting at the counter, intoxicated. And God convicts intoxicated people too, I'll tell you that. I sat there and I was looking at the TV and there's a gospel program on and God broke my heart. Brother Dameron, God broke my heart sitting right there. I knew I'd been to my wife and to my children because Brother Ricky, you said something the other night just sparked a thought in my mind. They waited to hear me snoring. They waited till I passed out. They waited till I was inebriated and passed out so I couldn't be involved in anything they did, and then they had as normal lifestyle as they could have while I was passed out. But God came to me, Brother Frank, 44 years old. I'd lost everything. I mean, ruined my life. Had nothing, and Brother Ricky, God came to me and convicted me and broke my heart. And I sat at that counter that day and wept and looked at my wife. And I said, I believe there's something better in this life than what I'm living. And her and I made a commitment to get back to the house of God. And I said, Lord, if you'll just let me come, if you'll just let me come, I'll be a good church member. Jim Cochran was my pastor. I ended up going to that church because I heard him on the radio. And he was an old mountain preacher. And Brother Jim, he preached the word. And I called my wife on the radio and I said, hey, I want you to listen to this preacher. And we ended up going there. Brother Ricky, I said, I tried to bargain with God. I said, if you'll just let me sit here, I'll be a good church member. I'll even give my tithes. But guess what? I found out something. Over in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, verse 26, it said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And let me just make a long story short. God came to that old run-down, raggedy, single-wide mobile home that was in because I wasted every nickel I ever had on drinking. And I didn't drink once in a while. I drank every day. I drank every night. I passed out every night. My life was miserable. Do you know why people drink? Because their life is miserable and it's escaped. And hey, listen, and finally Jesus came by and spoke to my heart, and I sobered up, and I got in the house of God under the man of God, and the Holy Ghost of God came to my heart one day and said, "Hey, son, I'm going to do something for you." And I said, "Lord, what is it?" And I began to preach. I begin going to the nursing homes. These folks are telling me that they can't find anywhere to preach. There's nursing homes all over the place. You go in, you don't have to be able to tote a tune in a bucket. You can go in singing Amazing Grace. You can go in and smile at them. You can go in and tell them Jesus loves them. And listen, you can preach every day somewhere. And you know what? God began, Brother Dameron, to take that. And he began to use that. And I began going in churches of preaching. And then finally one day I end up in this little place called Rocky Mount. The church had divided. There was about 14 people in that little church, and they were in a rented building, and then their pastor left them. God sent me there. It was His divine providence that He sent me there. I felt the touch of God when I left there that night. And Brother Jim, my wife, and I drove for 45 minutes and never spoke a word. And I looked at her, Brother Ricky, and I said, "You know what? I believe God's going to do something in our life at that church." And she said, "You know what? I was thinking the same thing." And we got home, and it wasn't long. The telephone rang and asked me, "Would I come?" And I went there in August of 04. And I preached August and September and October and November. And I got cold feet, and they asked me, "Would I take the church?" And I said, "No." Let me tell you about that church. Brother Ricky, I was over there in Rocky Mount one day, and Rocky Mount is in the middle of nowhere, next to nowhere. I don't know why anybody in their right mind want to go to Rocky Mount. But I was backed up at a Winn-Dixie store, Brother Dameron, and I was over there on the other side of the fence, unloading that truck, just as lost as I could be, a cussing and a ripping and a raring, never knowing that within sight one day, right across that fence, God was going to have me in that rented building preaching the gospel. And you know what? I said, "No, I'm not coming." And I went back to work. And I got in that truck, and I know people probably thought I'd lost my mind, Brother Dameron. Because you know what, Brother Frank, I was sitting out in the parking lot of the John Deere manufacturing plant down there in Fuquay, squalling like a baby. If people come by and saw me, they probably thought I'd lost my mind. They wanted to call the truck and come pick me up. What's wrong with him? I sat there and wept and I cried, and God dealt with my heart, said, "I'm going to send you to Rocky Mount." But guess what? Here's a young man, 44 years old. God's a dealing with my heart. My wife and I working, and we were making good money. We just bought a house. God put me in the Baptist. I got through 6 years of that. And you know what? Here, let me just tell you this. Let me just share this with you. We got so many doctors today, and I've never seen so many sin-sick people in my life. The Bible says He must increase, and I must decrease. Amen. I am what I am today, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am what I am because He passed by one day, and He loved me. I called my pastor one day, and I said, "I want to tell you something. I appreciate the Bible college, but the one thing that I learned that has stuck with me is a discipline to get up and study the Word of God every day. I don't have to study. Praise God, I love it." Let me go back where I was at. God began to deal with my heart. We just bought a house. We was making good money. My wife and I trained my wife to drive a tractor trailer. Preacher, you ought not to have done that. Well, listen, when you're living in sin, you do a lot of things you hadn't ought not to do. But I trained her to drive. She rode with me and drove with me, and then I put her on her own truck, and we drove two separate trucks and drove together, and we was making good money. God says, "You're going to Rocky Mount." I said, "Lord, now I need to be sure about that thing." Well, you know what? He made it sure. He made it so sure that on December the 17th, 2004, I turned into resignation, mine and hers. And you know what? Them preachers told me I was crazy. But God had spoke to my heart. God had spoke to my heart. Now, I had an old preacher tell me one time, he said, "Brother Frank, there's going to be some things you've experienced, you've preached about, and you're going to preach about some things you've experienced." Well, I talk about faith and I preach about faith because, praise God, I've experienced some faith. Well, I experienced some faith when I turned in those two resignations and walked away from that job to go to Rocky Mount, North Carolina with 14 folks in a rented building that wanted to build a church. I didn't even know how to pastor, much less build a church. But then I got to looking right there. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh." He picked the biggest dummy he could find. Hey, I was dumber than two sacks of hammers. God said, "I'm going to send you up down there, and I'm going to show Rocky Mount that God is still in control." Amen. Do you think I won't scared? Listen, I was on the mountaintop. They direct deposited our checks. Hey, amen. They direct deposited our checks. And you know what? I went out to get my last paycheck stub out of the mailbox. I walked out there and I pulled them things out and I looked. And the devil, boy, he jumped right square on my back. He says, "What's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? You had 401k, you had sick days, you had the health insurance, and look at the salary you had. You big dummy, you going to Rocky Mount in a building with 14 people, and you're not even going to make as much as they took out of your checks and taxes." I did. But can I tell you something? I got more than I ever had in my life. I got more than I ever had in my life. God's met every bill, every step of the way. God knew exactly what He was doing. He put a trailer in my life with a little old washing machine on the back. Said, "I'm going to open up the door for you that you can wash about 40 trailers and 8 or 10 tractors." And I made more money in 1 week in a month than I was making 3 weeks by myself of driving the truck. For 5 years while I was getting that church started, Brother Frank. 1 week in a month, my little wife would go with me. We'd wash those trailers and those trucks. That check would come in, it'd make my house payment, and it'd make my pickup payment. And I had enough sense that I wasn't in financial debt because I couldn't have win if I was. But you know what? I got up there, had no idea what I was doing. But let me tell you what God's done. Listen. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble men, but God hath chosen Gary Wood." He's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things. I was a 10th grade high school dropout. I went in the military, and just before going to jail after being court-martialed, I did get my GED. Had no idea that at 44 years of age, I'd be enrolled in a Bible college. What's that mean? Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. I was just as dumb when I finished as I was when I started. Amen. Don't mean nothing. Look, I'll tell you what, you know how you'll make some advancement with God? I don't know who that was the other night said, "Just tell him the truth. Just tell him the truth. I am what I am by the grace of God." Amen. And I got up there and I just showed up. We had the choir on Sunday morning, but guess what? When they got in the choir, wasn't nobody out there to sing to except one little old man about 90 years old that couldn't sing. And I'm like, "Lord, what in the world are we going to do? What are we going to do, Lord? I don't know what I'm doing here. You brought me here." I found an old hymn in that hymn book. First service I was there, I called all them folk up around the front. I said, "Don't you join hands?" And I got that old hymn book and I opened it. And I began to sing, Brother Frank. "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That became our theme song. We'd stand around that altar and we'd sing Trust and Obey. Well, in just a matter of about 2 years, we broke ground over there on the Old Mill Road, and we built the first phase of Harvest Baptist Church. We never sold one thing. We'd get together and we'd have fellowship meetings, and folks would bring something to eat, and we'd take up an offering, and praise God, with just a handful of people, we'd average anywhere from $800, $1,000, $1,500. We built that first building and moved in. The first baptismal service I had was baptizing 13 in a swimming pool at one of the members' houses. Amen. And God began to fill up that little church. Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and tell you this. They said, "Preacher, if we could just get a church, people would come." I said, "Praise God, I believe they're going to come here." And they filled it up over there. Where is that? For we went to the new building. So when we got in the first phase, we was already out of room. Amen. And then we went and built the second phase, which was the auditorium. We moved in the first phase of the building on Father's Day 2006. A year later, we started on the sanctuary. We moved into the sanctuary. Then we doubled the size of the fellowship hall. We got together one Saturday night and had barbecue chicken. We'd had everything, the money, we'd paid their way as we go. That's the best way to do it. You pay as you go. And we needed to finish the fellowship hall. We'd made it twice as big. We just doubled it. They want but a probably 60 or 70 of us there that night, and we had barbecue chicken. And everybody put the money in because we didn't charge anything. We've never charged nothing. Because look, there's some folk that can't always pay to come. There's mom and daddy's got children can't afford to pay $5, $6, $8 a plate. So praise God, we just open the doors. We've never charged for anything. Anybody and everybody come, and we just take up a little offering. We don't even pass a plate for that. Everybody knows what we're doing. They just walk by and give the deacon some money or give me some money, and at the end of the night, we clean up and count it. Hey, we worked on that fellowship hall. We went back there that night. We counted that money out, and we needed about $10,000 or $11,000 to finish. We had $11,400. You know what? I told that deacon, I said, "Next time, praise God, we're going to serve steak instead of chicken." Amen. $11,400. But look, let me tell you what else happened. We got in that sanctuary, and I told this to somebody the other night. We needed a piano and an organ. We got a baby grand piano, we got a nice Lowry organ, and we've got two wonderful musicians. They're brother and sister. Old Brother Jerome, he's born legally blind, but brother, there's not a key on there he can't hit. And his dear sister plays the organ. We raised, in just a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, almost $15,000. Brother Frank, to go down there and pay cash money for that. You see, God's blessed. Why? Is it because I know anything? No. The only thing I knew that was God said, "Go," and by faith I stepped out. Just like God says, "You're going to take this tent down yonder." How? I don't know. He just said, "Praise God, load it up, we're going." Hey, if He says go, He provides the way. Amen. And you know what? We went down there, Brother Ricky, to Pearson Music Company. I remember it just like it was yesterday, because when they told me where it was at and said, "Preacher, you know," I said, "Oh yeah, I know." And we loaded up. It was me, the deacons, their wives, our musicians, and we went. We went in Pearson Music Company, and they had all kinds of pianos and organs. That little lady in our church that plays the organ, she went in and she was going to play one, and they had a music class where they taught students, and that teacher and those students heard her playing the organ, and they all came out and converged all around her, and she was just playing as beautiful, as so graceful. She's 80 years old, little bony fingers all crooked up with arthritis, but she hits every one of them notes just right. Well, while they were around that organ playing, and while she was just mesmerizing them with that music, I walked across the showroom, Brother Frank. And I was looking out that window, and there's the tears coming down my cheek. I was just standing there rejoicing in the Lord in my heart, because you know what I was looking at, Brother Ricky? I was on Capitol Boulevard coming out of Raleigh. Coming out of Raleigh on Capitol Boulevard, there's inbound and there's an outbound lane. And in the middle, there's the bowling alley. There's the liquor store. And right across, there's Bobby Murray Chevrolet. And that liquor store is the one that took all my money. And I didn't think twice about pulling up at that liquor store with my children in the back seat. I didn't care. It didn't bother me. But I looked out that showroom window that day up on the hillside down at that liquor store. And it was boarded up. And God spoke to my heart. He said, son, I've boarded that up in your life. And you're on the other side of the street now. And I just stood there and I thank God, Brother Ricky, that he boarded up that part in my life. And there I was, right across the street from the hell hole that just about destroyed my life, over there picking out a piano and an organ for a church in Rocky Mount, where God came and chose the weak and the nobody of this world to go up there and tell somebody about Jesus. And you know why people come? I want to tell you something. People's lives are in a mess today. There's people that's hurting. There's people that need some help. They don't care how smart you are, how much you know. They just want to go somewhere, Brother Dameron, where you can tell them that Jesus makes the difference. Amen. That Jesus makes the difference. We've got a simple church. We presented the gospel in a simple way. We're not fancy. We sing them hymns out of the old hymn book. I preach out of the old King James Bible. And the Holy Spirit of God does the rest. Amen. I've got a new convert class, brother, where there's a young lady whose life had been destroyed. She had a fellow that had married her and would take her money at the first of the month, leave her in an apartment with the lights cut off, cockroaches crawling out of a box of a cereal with a little girl there, and no milk to drink, sitting in the dark. She'd been abused. She came to church and heard a message about how Jesus loves you, and she sat there with tears in her eyes and come to an altar and repented. And you know what? She come back to church. Amen. That's the first good sign. And she come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and she still got the tears. They hadn't dried up yet. She came to me last Sunday morning. She said, preacher, I want to sing that song to my mama. I said, what song is that? She says, that one that you did, Hello Mama. I just called to tell you, all those prayers you prayed for me, they were not in vain. She said, I want to sing that. She can't sing a lick, but I'll guarantee you, when she stands up and the tears come down her cheek and she says, Mama, I just want to tell you, I'm so glad you prayed for me, because there's a change took place in my life. But can I tell you something, Brother Frank? Listen, I went up there. I want to tell you something. Faith works. Faith works. If God takes somebody like me, if God takes somebody like me, a nobody, base, despised, rejected. I knew what despised was. You know how many times I've been told I was despised? You know how many times I've been told I'd never amount to nothing? Listen, one of the first things I had to overcome was in a big Southern Baptist church there at home. My uncle had died, and he had enough faith that he'd seen what God done in my life and asked me to preach his funeral. You know what, Brother Jim? First thing went through my mind, all your family's going to be there. They know you. They know what you are. You think you're going to get up there and preach that funeral? Well, I stood up there and preached. There's two people saved at that funeral that day. And I sat there, and my family sat up there. But you know what? They got over it. They said it won't last. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer. Amen. It's lasted, honey. It's lasted. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Let me just interject this. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You need to understand something. I may mess up some of your theology this morning. But when God saved you, He saved your soul. This stinking flesh is still a battleground. I don't care how good God's been to you. If you don't stay before Him and stay filled with the Spirit, He'll discourage you. The devil will lie to you. He'll try to bring you down. And that's exactly where I got to and called Brother Frank Saturday night and said, "Brother Frank, I can't make it. I was going to have me a pity party." Boy, God got a hold of my heart. He said, "Hey, wait a minute." He said, How in the world are you going to preach God's grace is sufficient? And you're going to stay home, stick your head under a mattress, get up yonder to that meeting." And I did, and praise God, the Holy Ghost has rung my bell every morning and every night. I believe it was one night here I'd squalled and snotted so much I couldn't go to sleep till 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about the grace of God, the power of God, the touch of God. He says you have not because you ask not. He said we ought to be filled with the Spirit. Do you know what? If we get the stinking pride that we've got out of us and come up here and kneel down and let God screw our heads off like a mason jar and turn us upside down and pour us out of us, turn us right side up and fill us with the Holy Spirit, hey, we'd act right. Amen. And you know what? People told me I didn't act right and wouldn't nobody come. I think they come sometimes just to watch me, Brother Frank. Because I don't act right. I get excited. God gave me emotions. He gave me tears. He put joy. I had a life of misery. Jesus passed by one day and made a difference in my life. Praise God. If I ever had anything to shout and give God the glory for, I've got it now. Amen. Now let me tell you. He sent me to an impoverished area. I mean, they've rolled up the sidewalks. All of the manufacturing jobs have moved overseas. Unemployment is unbelievable. The crime rate is through the roof. People don't have jobs. People don't have money. But can I tell you something? God ain't broke. Listen, I had somebody come by the house last year. The phone rang and said, "Preacher, I'm going to see you a minute and your wife." Well, guess what? It was one of the troublemakers. I'm not really a troublemaker, but just one that always found something wrong and needled me. But, you know, God used her to keep me in line. She came by Brother Ricky, said, "I don't want to see anybody. I don't want anybody to know I'm there. I want to park behind your house." I said, "All right, come on." I hung up. I looked at my wife. I said, "What have I done now?" That's exactly what I said. What have I done now? She came to the house. She came in, sat down at the table. She said, "Preacher," she said, "I really love Harvest Baptist Church." And her three sisters came. She said, "But I feel like I need to do something for the church." I said, "Praise God, what you have in mind?" She said, "Well, I want to do something for missions." I said, "Praise the Lord, that's great. What do you want to do?" She said, "I want to give $40,000. Make a long story short, when she got done, it was over 50. And she said, "Preacher, I want to do something for you." I said, "What's that?" She said, "I understand you're going to Israel." She said, "I want to pay all your expenses and pay your way." Hallelujah! And she said, "You know what? I want to do something for your wife, too." She said, "I'm going to write her a check." Sometimes best thing to do is shut up. I went and got a notebook. I sat down. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go ahead and settle right now how we're going to do this." Brother Jim was going to India. They were having that crusade, needed money for rice. I felt so good. Look, you have to understand this. I felt so good, I had to sit on both hands to keep from waving at you. Amen. So I called Sister Ronnie. I said, "Sister Ronnie, you know that money y'all need for us?" I said, "We're going to send you a check." She said, "How much?" I said, "$8,000. Right now to buy some rice, praise God." Amen. Amen. God used them. God ain't broke. And you know what? We have 3 acres of land, a beautiful church. And last month, we paid off the first note. We paid $26,000, paid off the first note. Well, that wasn't good enough. God says, I'm going to show you something. Last week, we mailed off another check for $30,000. In less than 2 years, God willing, and I know He is, in less than 2 years, now mind you, Brother Dameron, we've only been in that building 6 years. In 2 more years, and I'm believing in less than 2 years. Why are you believing that, preacher? Because I'm believing when it gets down to $15,000, $20,000, somebody's going to say, hey, praise God, let's pay it. So I believe in less than 2 years. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And you know what? I go to camp meeting and I tell them, and I'm going to tell you something right now, you listen to me. There's some preachers you can get around don't want to do anything but pull you down. Look, I serve an amazing God. He saved me. He's loved me. He's taken care of me. And I brag on Him everywhere I go because I've done nothing. Listen, He just let me show up. And praise God, I love that scripture in Ephesians 3:20 that says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Listen, I thought I could see in my mind what God was going to do. I couldn't even begin to imagine what God was going to do. He said, hey, look, He said, you be faithful to me and serve me and love me. He said, prove me therewith if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there'll not be room enough. Praise God, there's not room enough for what God's doing. Why? Why? Because some old dumb drunk truck driver heard the call of the Master. Amen. And He came to me. Squire Parson used to sing that song that said, He came to me when I was bound in the chains of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. You know what He did? He picked me up and He drew me gently to His side, where today in His sweet love I now abide. He came to me. Amen. He came to me and won't no doubt about it when He showed up and knocked on my heart's door. And praise God, the Bible said the just live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. But I want to tell you what faith does. It unlocks the glory of God and the blessings of God. And I can't even begin to tell you, Brother Frank, what God's done in the middle of nowhere at a church called Harvest Baptist Church with an old drunk preacher that got rededicated by the grace of God and got his life straightened up, all because Jesus passed by and Jesus makes the difference. And I needed, praise God, this old tent this week. Amen. I'm going to hush right there. So I have some wind tonight. Amen. God loves you. Can I tell you that? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And it's amazing every single day. Amen.